Today's daf in Masechet Pesachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Chet, and we are holding on daf Zayin Amud Beis, Lo'or HaNer, and we left off with wondering where we get the idea that we should use a candle. Why dafka candle? I mean, not immediately. I'm Rav Chista. Now we're going to see that all of this obviously is sort of esmachtas that we're bringing, that there is an inyan, which we never would have thought of in terms of our own to use for Bedikas Chametz. But because of the fact that there are logistical reasons to use a ner, which we're going to get to in the beginning of Amud Beis, so because of that, we allow ourselves to define the use in mystical senses as well, so that there's a purpose in relating to searches with using a candle. Where do we see that? Because lamadnu mitziyah mi mitziyah, this is a complex limud that is including even psukim in Tanakh, and therefore obviously is not meant as an actual limud. So we learn out mitziyah from mitziyah, mitziyah mi chipus, chipus from chipus, chipus from nerot, nerot mi ner. Okay, let's go through the psukim. So the first pasuk is shivat yamim sar lo yimatze. How do we deal with lo yimatze? So the way that's bedikas chometz is how we deal with lo yimatze. And then it says, with the story of Yosef and Binyamin, it says, Vayechapes bagadol echel uvekatan kala. Now, what does it mean over there? Vayechapes, and then it says, Vayimatze, and that is that mitziyah requires chipus. There is a question of a search. Now, the concept of the mitziyah now is related to the chipus that's mentioned in that same pasuk. And chipus, we know, is done with candles. So you'll say, maybe you need more than one ner. No, it also says ner. We can learn out nerot from ner. Because it says by a ner, even a single ner, ner Elohim nishmat adam kofes kol chadrei baten. All right, we'll talk about why we need both of those, why we can't go directly. But first, let's just see this sugya. Tomer Rebbe Devei Rebbe Shmuel Lil Yudah Yarba Aser Bot Kinat Achomitz Lo Raner Alfa Pishen Raya Ledover. Even though obviously this whole lima that we had is not a proof of anything, but nonetheless there's a remez over here as a zecher ledover. Shenema Shivat Yamim Sor Lo Yimatze, and then it says Vayichapez Bagadol Achel Ove Katan Kala, and then it says in that pasuk it says Vayimatze, and then it says Beit Hayachapez at Yerushalayim Ben Neirot, and it says Ner Alakim or Ner Hashem really Nishmat Adam. There's actually two Ramazim, and obviously why do we need both? My Vaomer, what was wrong with the first pasuk? Because Vechitema Hay Beit Hayikulagi. Maybe the best way to do a chippus is actually not to use a candle, but to use a torch, where you get a lot of light. And why did Hashem say, I'm going to search out Yerushalayim, meaning that I'm going to make sure that there are no avonot that are left in Yerushalayim? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to go, you know, doesn't want to be very strict with Yerushalayim. And so, we'll just use candles. I mean, if I would use a torch, oh God, who knows what we'll find, you know? I don't want to find all the little things. I'm just looking for the big things. So maybe, but when it comes to chametz, it would be better to use a torch, right? Therefore, I need the pasuk. Then over there, it's dafke beisahi, and there it's, I'm being merachem, so it's a kula. That Hashem is saying, lo badikna lo birushalayim benuna davukin anavish nuhura. I don't want to use torchlight, which gives a lot of light. Ella Benuhura the Shraga, I want Bedavka to use candlelight in order to have less light. Because that way, Avon Rabba Mishtakach, I'll only find the big problems, but Avon Zutar, I won't notice. Therefore, we need to breathe the other pasuk, Nerash and Nishmat Adam. So Tosfos asks the obvious question, which is, let's just go to Nerash and Nishmat Adam. Because over there, it says Chofes also, right? It says Chofes Kol Chadrei Vaten. So why do we need to go through two separate steps? It doesn't make any sense. So Tosfos says, because the lashon of chofes kol chadrei vaten in that pasuk is not referring to the ner being chofes kol chadrei vaten. The pasuk is referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being chofes, the same the Elohim, Ner Hashem, who will be chofes kol chadrei vaten. But now that we know from the other pasuk that Nain wrote, Tosfos just takes it in a very prosaic sense. Okay, but now since Lamaisa we have the Gzera Shava that is putting the two together. So because of that, we can actually learn that Nair would be just as good. But Lamaisa, I mean, I think that the way to learn it is that now that we see that Chippus is done with Neirot, so then we should understand that the metaphor in the Pasuk is that being as, like this, I would learn the Pasuk to mean like this, Ner Hashem Nishmat Adam, and therefore, if that person is alive, meaning that he is shining, and there's something to look for in him, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will look into his entirety, not just his nefesh. But now that we understand that Chippus is done with Neirot, so we understand it that the Ner Hashem is Nishmat Adam, which does the Chippus. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees through, it's like saying a Kala that has beautiful eyes, you don't need to look at anything else. And it's the same thing with a human being. A person who has a beautiful neshama that is light, and that's Chofez Kol Chadrei Batan. So that neshama becomes the Ner, which is Chofez Kol Chadrei Batan. In which case, it's a direct raya that a Ner, is single Ner, is good for Chippus. And we wouldn't have known it because we would have understood it differently if we hadn't seen the Lashon of HaKapes at Yerushalayim B'Neirot. Okay. Now, Tana Rabbanan, we're soon going to see what is the logistical reason. It's all very nice to have a magical reason, but remember that the idea of B'dikas Chametz is for B'dikas Chametz. So, you know, I mean, we wouldn't want to take a really beautiful person with a beautiful neshama and use him for B'dikas Chametz, right? So, okay, so that, you know, I mean, why not go all the way, right? Rebbe, would you be available for being used for B'dikas Chametz? After all, it's a good income for Rebbe's on the side. So, okay, so then what is the logistical reason? So, Tana Rabbanan, Ein Bodkin, Lo Lo Rachama, Velo Lo Or Halavana, Velo Lo Or Havuka, Elo Lo Or Aner. Don't use sunlight. Sunlight, pretty hard to get sunlight in the middle of the night of the 14th, but okay, we'll have to figure out what that means. So don't use sunlight, don't use moonlight, don't use torchlight, use only the Or HaNer, and why is that? Or HaNer, yafeh lebidika, because we'll explain that there's something special about using candlelight, and that's why we would want it. And even though we can't prove that from anywhere, Alpha Pishen Raya Ladover Zech Ladover again, Shemar Shivas Yom Yisrael Yomatzei, Vayachapes Begadol HaKavim Yomatzei, Vayitei HaKapes B'nei Rot, Ner Hashem Nishmat Adam, Chofez Kol Chadrei Batan. You got it? Good, great. Okay, now before we explain what's so good about the Or HaNer, what in the world were we talking about Or HaChama? How are we using the Or HaChama exactly? Echidami. Where would we have Or HaChama? I mean, look, maybe what we're talking about is the guy didn't do his bedikah on time, or he wants to do a bedikah before the time, and he's outside where there's sun, and he's in his front yard, and it's saying that he doesn't have to bring a candle out to his front yard in the middle of the day. I mean, in your front yard, you don't need to do a bedikah at all, because Omar Rav HaChatzayin HaTzirich HaBedikah B'Nesha Aravim Mitzuyim Sham. You got birdies there, and the birdies are going to eat up any kind of crumbs. So that's not an issue. It's as if it's already mavua. Ella, what we're talking about is an oxadra. So we're talking about a porch. A porch will have one wall that's entirely open, and you got tons of sunlight that's pouring down on the porch, and the ideas don't use the sun. That's not true, because Amar Rav oxadra la oradiv deket. Actually, you can use the natural sunlight of the porch. So therefore, what we're talking about must be a window. So don't use a window in your bedroom. Wait, what do you mean? Where are you searching? If you're searching directly across from the sunlight that's going directly from the window, why is that any different than the case of the porch? The porch is basically a window. What's the difference how big it is? If the sunlight hits this exact place, it should be fine, right? So ilabata lubahadi aruba, that's the same case as the aksadra. So what we must be talking about is on the side, in other words, there's tons of light in the room because the sunlight is hitting the room directly through the window or through the skylight, but it's still telling us don't use that tremendous amount of light if it isn't directly in the rays of the sun. It's not a function of the amount of photons. It has to do somehow with the direction that we're talking about of the light. Now, everybody has, you know, seen the phenomena of when the sun comes through a window at a particular angle, all of a sudden you grab your vacuum cleaner, right? Because this happens all the time. Oh, my God, I haven't saw any of those crumbs over there. So, fine, there's obviously, I mean, Dyson makes a living off of this, right? So the idea, therefore, would be that Rava is saying, okay, so you have to be directly across the sun. But the question is, what in the world is he talking about? Right? When are you going to be making this patika? You don't have the sun available at night, so what are you going to do? So this brings up a lot of very important questions, including the question that Marcel, by the way, Moshe, if there's any way to add Marcel, because he's sending in questions on the daf to the daf musings, it's a little bit too early for him, but so maybe you could add him. Anyway, so this relates to a question that Marcel asks. What is the point of making a bedikas chometz if we are selling all of our chometz to the goy, and we've already signed the contract to sell the chometz to the goy? So what exactly are we doing? Fine. We'll talk about that in a moment, because this raises an overall question. Obviously, not only is the minhag to do Pesach cleaning before Pesach, it's a halacha. The Rama paskens, you cannot rely on bedikas chometz to actually get rid of your chometz, because there's not enough time in the night to do that. And you don't do a proper bedika when everything is filthy. Who knows? Is this chametz? Is this dirt that fell in? You understand that that's absurd. So you need to do a cleaning before you do bedika. So, okay, over there, the cleaning that he's talking about is not a bedika cleaning. But what about if it was a bedika cleaning? Meaning that you actually went around, took everything out, took a flashlight, looked around, cleaned out anything that was there. And now it's 2 weeks before Pesach. And now you put a thing on there, no, don't use until after Pesach, right? So you close up that cabinet, it's no longer going to be used. So the question is that okay? Because, I mean, one way of understanding what it was that Rava was saying over here is that if you clean out your porch before Yud Gimel, before, in other words, the night after Yud Gimel, before Orl Yudalit, so then that would be okay. And then that would be the equivalent of your bedika. So would you make a bracha? I mean, if you're doing your Pesach cleaning, would you not have to be mekayim, the mitzvah, on the Leil Yudalit because you used a flashlight in every single corner of your house before when you got in a cleaning crew and they splashed water all over the place? Or worse, as the Aruch HaShulchan says, nowadays they actually sandpaper the floors. So how could there be any chametz that would be left? What's the point of making the bedika? So that's the question. Is there like a standing mitzvah? This was sort of one possibility of understanding the whole idea of the Shloshim Yom. I'm not going to be there, so what do I have to make the bedika for? Once that is chal, so we said, look, there's obviously a particular mitzvah to do the bedika. So what's Rava mean? You don't need to do the bedika because you did the bedika before? Unless, of course, he's only talking about the morning after the night before, and you forgot, or whatever. Maybe even l'chatchila, some suggest that if there's going to be an area that is completely lit up the next morning, you could rely on the next morning for that area. So this is a big machlokas, the truth is. Some learn that there is, according to Rashi and the Rif, a completely different understanding of what the time is for bedikas chametz. It's not that the Orl Yudalit is the time. It's that Orl Yudalit is the last time. That's the point. But that any time during those periods before Pesach, so the Shloshim Yom would be fine to do a bedika. And that the last, if you haven't done a bedika by then you absolutely must do the bedika on Leil Yudalit. But then that beggars the question, what do we do about the bracha? Furthermore, the Bachtein is anyway, that furthermore, we don't paskin like that because we paskin like the Rush. And the Rush says, no, that is the time. It's not that it's the last possible time. It's the only time that we have that particular mitzvah of Araya. That's the time that the bracha was kavua to be together with the biur. It's going to be the next day. That's what we say, al biur chametz. We're not going to say 30 days before al biur chametz, when the biur is only when we're in the middle of the process for the next morning, l'chora. So the question is like this. A, if you did do it, And you, so what are you going to say? I want to clean my house, but I won't use a flashlight because that way I won't be able to even behind my bedika on the Leil Yodalet. I mean, that obviously doesn't make sense. I could clean however I want. So I'm going to clean. I'm going to do a complete cleaning, which is the equivalent of a bedikas chometz. Now I did it. Do I have to do it again on the Leil Yodalet because we have this mitzvah and you're supposed to go through the motions? That's weird. That seems to be what the Bach holds. Now, others taina that maybe you shouldn't have done it, but if you did do it, obviously it now becomes a mokum she'ei machnisim bo chometz. Because since the Mishnah said you only have to check places where it's possible to find chometz, why the heck would you check a place where it's not possible to find chometz? We know that it's completely and totally cleaned out. There's no way that there could be chometz there. So what would be the point of a bedika? But according to that, it's sort of only that you missed out on your opportunity, but you weren't mekayim the mitzvah of the bedika, right? And it means also you can't do that lechatchila as your modality of getting rid of your chometz. Now, lemaisa, the Mishnah Berurah paskens, you don't have to go back and do it. If you cleaned, you made a Pesach cleaning before with a flashlight, you would not have to go over that bedika again. But still, that means that he's looking at it as a bidiyavad. If you did it, so then okay, so then there's no point in going back. However, there is the shita of the Gra and others, this is brought by the Prima Gadim as well, that even lechatchila, it's perfectly okay to do it that way. And then if that's the case, you have to worry about what's going to be with the bracha. So that's a fascinating question because that relates to Marcel's question as well. And it's interesting, the Orach HaShulchan actually asks, V'da sheyesh shoalim, so there are those who ask, l'fi min hagenu sh'anashim menakim ha'chadarim v'atevot v'chol ha'mekomot kaimi yomim kodem Pesach. So that by the time Or L'Arba'aser comes around, there's not a single drop of chometz anywhere, right? So then, im kein ma'inyan ha'bedika sh'anu mevorachim. Why are we saying, Asher k'rishanu b'tzavet sivanu? There's no point in this. So it's a fake out. Well, he says, I don't think that's a problem. Have we not already explained that the reason that we say al biur chametz and not al bedikat chametz is because we view this as a process. And the process begins with the bedika, setting aside things for eating the next morning, and includes the next day's extra bittul after the biur chametz, right? So because of that, the entire thing is a process. And the point is that you are going to be doing a biur, are you not? Not to mention the fact that you do have chametz currently in your house because you're keeping it for tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, you're going to be eating. But what that means is that you are still in the middle of that process. And the bracha was made on the process. So if that's the case, you're still in the middle of the process. What do I care if you started doing the cleaning before? Have you finished dealing with your chometz? No. You're going to be doing a sreifas chometz? Yes. You're going to have a breakfast in the morning? Yes. You're going to be doing a bittul the next day after you do your sreifa? Yes. Okay. So what's the problem of making the bracha at the bedika? Now, lemaisa, a lot of people are not semich on that. And so because of it, they leave over a place where they will actually need to do the bedika. And that way, there's no problem. You also know the weird minhagim about scattering crumbs so that now at least you're looking for something and so on, which is weird because somebody knows where those crumbs are. So if you didn't find them, they'll just go and they'll take them. Okay, fine. It's more like a remiss kind of thing. But I mean, like what many people will do is they'll do the bedika on the whole house, but they won't do bedika on their car. You know, and then wherever they went to, whatever hotel they went and so on, once upon a time, people used to go to places. So whenever they get to a place where they would go to, hard to imagine such a thing. But anyway, so then they would be bodeg their car. They used to have these things that rolled around on wheels. And because of that, they would, now that's not so pashut. Because the question is, do you need to make a bedika on things? Or is the din of the bedika on the house? Something of an issue we spoke about earlier, right? Is there a takon of an actual bedika on a car? Okay. But in any event, as far as Marcel's question is concerned, the mechira to the akum only takes place at the very last minute. That's why. because you're going to sell everything to the Akum, then that would destroy the Bir Chometz too. Because now I'm not burning my Chometz, I'm burning the Goyis Chometz. So what's the point of burning the Goyis Chometz? What right do I have to burn the Goyis Chometz, right? So therefore, the Rabbanut, whoever is selling, sells it at the last minute of the Shah HaShishis, before, up to the Shah HaShishis, before it becomes Asur B'Hana. And at that point, that's when the sale takes place, and it specifically leaves out those things that are not inside areas and that are either some right marked or particular areas that you wrote, depends how specific your contract is, and that things that you're going out to burn obviously are not included in the sale, which is why we would make the bracha from before as well. So that basically explains there's some who bring this whole thing up, not because they're looking to say that you don't need to do a bedikah. But there's a big problem. If you take a look at all of the earlier Peskim, and we mentioned this before, you can't really do a bedikah on the night of Pesach. It takes too long. And there's not time to do a full bedikah. So, okay, so the Ramah addresses that by saying, look, you have to do a basic cleanup before. But even a basic cleanup in a modern home, the thought of going through every single drawer, every single closet, all of the like little areas that might have been used, you're talking about hours and hours and hours. I mean, it's gonna be post-morning by the time you've finished. I mean, so the whole thing is really strange. So because of that, it has become the minhag that people sort of, you know, they do like a very casual kind of bedikah, which is not a bedikah, because as the halakha of the bedikah specifies, you need to go into the chorin and the tzedakim, and you need to take everything out if it's in a drawer and so on and so forth, right? People don't do that. So in order to be malamed schus, this is where this a lot of this is brought, why is it that people lemaisa do a casual bedikah? That's because be'etzem the bedikah was done before, which was either la'or hachama in the daylight or people that are makbid to do it properly. Let's say there's an area of your home. This happens very often. There's an area of your house where you want to keep your stuff for Pesach, right? So the grocer is bringing stuff. Then the vegetable guy is bringing stuff. And you've got all of your kalim that you're taking out. Where the heck are you going to put all of this stuff? You need to make a corner of your house or a room of your house. You need to make it what you'll say, I'll make it Pesedik. Well, how can you do that? You're going to have to take everything out and do a bedika on Leil Yadalit, right? So what that means is that be'etzem, we're relying on this gra. We are making things pesedik. We're not going to make a new full bedika, take everything out of there. Okay, but in order to allow for these shitas, we do a bedika. But the bedika is essentially a casual bedika in order to be going through the act of the mitzvah, making the brach at the time. And therefore, you can be malamed schus on the people that are making the bedikah in a way that if this were really the bedikah, it would be outrageous that you call a bedikah schametz. And indeed, that's what we do. So looking at all of the possibilities, that's the most logical thing. Now, the last thing we learned in the Gemara was that the Or HaNer is yafel bedikah, but we did not explain why that's true. I mean, certainly a torch gives an awful lot more light than a ner. So therefore asks the Gemara, what exactly are we talking about? So you're saying, don't use a torch. Vavuka lo, you said not the sun and not the moon and not the torch. Why not a torch? Doesn't a torch show up better? Didn't Rava himself say, my dichtiv, what is the meaning of the beautiful pasuk that's talking about tzadikim liyasid lava? So it says over there, v'noga ka'or tiye karnayim miyado lo, v'sham chavyonuzo. That the shine in the future for the tzaddikim is going to be like the or, meaning the or of the Shivas Yimei Bereshis, as Rashi says. So that rays will come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and will go from his hand to these tzaddikim. And that will light up these tzaddikim. So, but Chesham Chavyon Uzzah, the real hidden power, the hidden power that's in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, out of that hidden power comes out the rays of light that will go to the tzaddikim. So, if that's the case, says Rava Lamat tzaddikim domim bifnei hashchina, if I want to compare what the pasuk is saying, it's like comparing the light of a candle to the light of a torch. And so then Rav himself is saying a light of a torch is far more powerful and indeed should be more useful. So why did he say, don't use a torch? Adarabba, it's a kavachomer. For sure you should use a torch, no? And Rav himself was the one who said, if you're going to make a borei ma'orei ha'esh by Havdolah, you should use a torch. Why doesn't you should use a candle? Omrev Nachum by Yitzchak, there's a big difference. A bedika is different than just amounts of light. For a bedika, you need to be able to manipulate what it is that you're using to see. I mean, if I need to look underneath a dresser or behind a cabinet or in a crack in the wall, how am I going to get a torch in there? I get a torch in there. A candle, yes, a candle I can fit into all of these places, and I need to get them in these places. So it's obviously a completely different usage. Rav Zvid says, that's not the problem. The problem is that it's not a good way to look for things. It's a good way to make light. But if you're looking for things, you're walking around with something. You're going to be blinded by the torch because it's putting so much light into your eyes that it's good for looking in the other direction, but it's not looking for chippus because you don't see well what's in front of it. It shows signs the light back into your eyes. So therefore, it's not good for bedikas chometz because the aur of the candle is light enough in front of it. It doesn't blind you. But zeh ora l'acharav. Rav Papa says, look, I think it's very simple. I mean, people are not going to do a very good bedika holding a torch for the obvious reason that putting the torch under the bed means you need to have the fire department already at the front door. So who's going to be able to do a good bedika like that? He's constantly worried. Oh, my gosh, I got to get out of here before the bed catches on fire, right? Okay, so that's the difference. I ba'id, one of them is scary and one of them isn't scary. Ravina says it's even simpler than that. A torch flickers. And a candle can burn very, very straight. So the light of a torch, you know, that's why they use them for all the horror movies and everything. It's like nothing that you would want to, the moment you get used to one level of light, now it's turning into a different level of light. That's not good for looking for things. As you say, any place. What do you mean with it? Any place that you're not mar? Just say, mokum she machnisa bochometz. So any place comes to include even things that you would say, I mean, I don't usually put in chometz, but I mean, I certainly could put in chometz. So it's coming to talk about even, let's say, latuyah hadatan rabbanon, chorei bayit ha'elyonim v'atachtonim. So remember in those days, the walls were very thick like they are in the old city. And you've got like these places which you have actually in houses in the old city. You've got these places that actually extend into the wall. They're deep holes, shelves in the wall. So these shelves in the wall that are not convenient to use. They're elyonim v'tachtonim. So there are places that are all the way up on the top of the wall, or they're down towards the bottom of the wall, or you have, let's say, a roof of a shed. So you got a shed on the side of your house, but it's got a slanted roof, right? Or you've got the top of a closet, gaga migdal. Now, you put stuff on there, you have to stand on a chair. That's not something that you're normally going to put a piece of bread up on top of there. So that is not considered to be a place shemenich b'chometz. Or places even where you would put chometz, but the chometz doesn't stand there because it'll be eaten up, like, say, a barn or a chicken coop or a place where you wouldn't go into at all, which would be, let's say, a closet for keeping straw for food for animals or otsrot yayin, otsrot shemen, ein tzrichim bedika. So here it says, if you have like a big wine cellar or an oil cellar, you don't need to make a bedika there. And that's what kol makom comes to include. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel omer, let's say you've got a bed in the middle of a room and that's your room divider. So then if it's choleket betoch habayit, if there's room under the bed for putting something, you need to be bodik under the bed. Ask the Gemara, hold on a second. Take a look at this braita. Here it says if there's a hole in the wall between a guy and his neighbor and goes all the way through, so each one is bodek to the point where you can reach with your hand. And the other one is bodek to the point where his hand can reach. And then anything else, you can be mavato. You don't have to take a hose and hose it out and so on. You can be mavato because you can't reach it. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel omer, And here's the case of the mita. Mita choleket betocha bayit. And you've got wood and stones that you have underneath that bed, but there's still a gap between the bed and whatever is stored under it. Einat tzricha betikah. Whoa, wait a minute. So now we got two problems. First of all, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel contradicts himself about the bed with room. And then the brayta itself contradicts itself between chorim and the chorim in this case where you do have to be bayit. So the chorim is obviously no question because we said in the first brayta only very high chorim and low chorim. Here we're talking about normal use chorim and they're very deep because they go through to your neighbor's house. Okay. And the mita, obviously, I mean, isn't that the point of saying that in the second case where he says you don't have to check? He's talking about where you've got a bunch of junk under the bed that you're keeping. So you've got stones, bricks, or whatever. So even though there's space, there's obviously not as much space. So it depends. I mean, so how high above the place that you have to store is the bed if there's not a lot of space? I can put anything there. Okay, the next thing I don't understand is you said otsrot yayin. Is the whole point is koma kom she'emach nis, it comes to include otsrot yayin. I don't need a bedika for otsrot yayin. It says beferish in the another brayta, otsrot yayin do require bedika, but otsrot shemen don't require bedika. So how do you explain that? They're talking in this brayta about the type of closet that you would go into in the middle of a meal. So you've got like your wine arranged, it's like a wine fridge or something, right? So you run out of wine, and then you'll open up the wine fridge and you'll take out more bottles. So that's a mistapek. I understand. So then if you're mistapek, you could say the same thing about the shemen. I mean, it doesn't make sense. If you're changing the rules, so you change the rules on the shemen too. It depends if you're mistapek, right? So shemen, no, because that's the whole point. Wine, you never know how much wine you're going to need on a meal. You know, so sometimes people get turned on by the wine. They drink a lot of wine. The Rebbe may come to visit. You need a lot of extra wine. Who knows? So because of that, you'll go in the middle of the meal and you'll be mistapek, b'yayin. So, but when it comes to oil, I mean, what do you need more oil? You know how much salad dressing you need in the middle. You made everything before. I mean, nobody's going to go in the middle and go down to the basement into a storage place for oil because you need a little bit of extra oil. Doesn't make sense. So shemen yesh keva l'achila, but yayin, there is no such thing as a kviut for how much yayin. And of course, Rabbi Chiya points out, look, I mean, if we're talking about bavel, so then 99 bottles of beer on the wall, 99 bottles of beer. You never know how many bottles of beer you're going to need to go. So when in Bavel, it's the same beer as like Otsos Yayin, Beretz Yisrael, and it's considered to be Mistapek. Omer of Chista, how about one of these, Richie, this is something close to home, a Beit Dagim. How about a place where you've got all your fish, all your smoked fish is all stored in there. And so it says over there, you do not need a bedika, but there's another brayta that says you do need a bedika. How do you explain that? Ah, lokasha barav reveo bezutre. So Rav Chista was talking about where you've got these big fish that are stored, the big smoked fish. The second one is talking about herring. Now, obviously, you're going to need more herring, very possibly in the middle of a kiddush. So then you might go down holding your piece of cake that you were munching on and to bring up more herring. So then it is a makam shemachlisa bo chametz. Again, so everything needs to be defined by its context, of course. Omer Rabba Baravuna. So let's say, bei milchei, bei kiri, tzorek bedika. If you've got a place where you store your salt or you store your wax, which is your fuel, then you need it. And you may, in fact, need it in the middle of the meal. Omer of Papa. The same thing would be true about bei tzivi, where you've got your wood for your fireplace, your stove, or bei tamrei, dates. I mean, that needs bedika. People get hungry, and these are desserts. Tana, we are not mechayev somebody to stick his hands into little holes and cracks in order to search for it because it's dangerous. What's dangerous? I mean, dangerous because maybe it's you'll get bit by a scorpion or something. You're afraid that there's this big scorpion hiding out over there. So then how did you use it in the first place? I mean, so if you wouldn't put your finger in there to check it, so then you wouldn't put your finger in there to put the bread in the place anyway in the first place, right? So it doesn't make sense. No, it used to be okay, but then the wall collapsed before Pesach. And now, since it collapsed, I have a big worry that now it's very attractive to big spiders. So I don't want to stick my fingers in. What do you mean, if it collapsed? If it collapsed, you don't have any bodik, it's silly. So enough on Lomali Bedika. Doesn't it say in the Mishnah later on that chametz where the room collapsed over it is considered to be mevoar by definition? It's already been buried. Buried is a good way to bear chametz. You already been mevoar the chametz. Yeah, but remember that it depends how bad the collapse is. We explain over there. There it's talking about she'ina kelev yacholach ha-pesach rav. Anything that's not three tvachim deep buried, we are worried that your doggy is going to dig it up in order to get the bone or the chametz. So because of that, you're going to have to get rid of it. But and that's what we're talking about over here. The wall, it collapsed in the sense that there's room for scorpions, but your doggy could still get to it, so you still have to make sure that you get rid of your chametz. But wait a minute, it's a big mitzvah to do bedikas chametz, right? So don't we have a klal that shluchei mitzvah in om nizoki? So anybody who's being isaac in a mitzvah does not have to worry about getting bit by a scorpion. Om Ravashi, well, I mean, imagine a case like this. Everybody knows this case. Everybody knows this case. Your wife tells you, listen, while you're looking for the chametz, please see if you could find my missing earring. Here's the one that I lost that I've been looking all over. For sure we'll find it during Bedikas chametz, right? Okay. So then what you're really thinking the whole time, oh my God, brownie points, good for at least 5 minutes. I'm going to find that ring or that earring, right? So then what you're doing is no longer for the mitzvah. Now you're doing it to find the earring. So then you're not going to be a shluchei mitzvah. And since everybody's got this problem, so we can't rely on your kavanah la mitzvah, and therefore you might get bit by the scorpion. That's amazing. All right. So Shema Tovadlo, of course it happens every year. So Shema Tovadlo Machat, how do you know you won't lose? Your wife's going to lose an earring. Oh, good. Says the Gemara, so what? I gave no lav mitzvah. What, you're telling me that if I do it that way, so if I add in something that I want to get out of the mitzvah, is that considered to be a mitzvah? Didn't we have that famous brayta? Omer sela zulitz tzedakah b'shvil shiyachyeh b'ni. Yeah, as a sick child, I'm giving this money to tzedakah b'shvil that my son should get better. Or I'm giving this to tzedakah because I want to be zeichet olam haba. So even though that's not considered to be the proper way to do it, nonetheless, harezet tzadik gomer. Meaning, in this particular issue, as Rashi explains elsewhere, in this particular issue, the fact that you have ulterior motives doesn't mean that the act is not considered to be an act of a mitzvah. It's like shelo lishma, fine. But still, you're going to be considered to be an isaac b'mitzvah, and therefore it should be protective. Well, Dilma basa the banakati le'yone batra. What we're afraid of is that after you did the bedika, you're going to say, ooh, I didn't find that earring. Mela, chametz. Let me look again. So then at that point, you will be Isaac entirely for the earring and not for the chametz at all. All right, so this is a fascinating question because, I mean, when you're talking about a raise at Tzadik Gomer, so Tosfos asks from the Mishnah, you know, Al tiyu ka'avadima mishamshim et harav, amanat lekabel pras. So Tosfos gives an answer which is really based on the whole sugya Legabi Koresh and Rosh Hashanah, which is that there's a difference between doing something where you wouldn't do it unless you would be getting this out of it, or you're doing it and hoping to get something out of it. But I mean, Lamaisa, if he's explaining that in the Mishnah, it is a very, very problematic way to explain the Mishnah. I mean, it certainly is connected to Halacha, and it certainly is connected to the Pashtus of the Mishnah. As the Rambam explains, the Al Tiyu Kavadim Mesham Shem Sarav does not mean Al Menat in a way that it's conditional. It means it should not be your Machshava at all, and that it's supposed to be an act of love, and this is not an act of love. It may be accepting that ultimately I'll be mekabel the mitzvah anyway, but it's not that you're driven by love. I mean, somebody who's driven by love does not make these kinds of statements in giving. I am giving you this box of candy because I'd like you to like me. Well, that's not exactly the way that we give boxes of candies, right? Okay, so the same thing would be true over here. So, I mean, it's just not a kasha. Because the Al Tiyu Ka'avadim is how it is that you're supposed to be acting. And the question of whether the mitzvah is Megin is a question of whether you're doing the mitzvah. One has nothing to do with the other, Lechora. Okay. Anyway, that's on the tzad that we're worried about scorpions. By the way, although this sounds very funny to the modern mind, I must tell you that those who lived in Eretz Yisrael not too long ago know very well. I remember in the days when I used to hang out in Tveria, where I was terrified I certainly wouldn't go to the bathroom at night. I mean, if you call that a bathroom, it's just a hole in the ground. That's terrifying. I remember one time by the care of Rabbi Meir, I was like, I had the key and I took care of the whole place. I sat down at the desk, open up the desk and go in to take out a pen, and a scorpion comes running out of the desk. Oh, it's horrifying. And then a friend of mine, Yudke Polay, his wife puts on her bathrobe in the morning. This is Yerushalayim, sticks her hand into the pocket of the bathrobe to take out her handkerchief. It was a scorpion in there, and she gets bit by a scorpion. It was absolutely terrible. I mean, that's really adayom. I'm really traumatized worrying about putting my feet into his slippers or something without banging them out first. So it's not far-fetched at all. Anyway, Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak Amar, Mishum Sakanat HaNochrim. We're worried about Goyim. That's what he's talking about over here. Uplimohi, the Tanya Chor Sheben Yudila Armoi. If you have a hole between your house and a Goy's house, you could bodek ad makom shelom agat. So then you just put your hand in and check it out, and the rest of it you're just mevata b'libo. Plimo says, don't go near that hole, baby. It's dangerous. What's so dangerous? I mean, if you're going to tell me it's dangerous because the Goy is going to say, who knows what that Jew's doing in that hole, probably trying to do some kishuf and it'll start a pogrom. So then how are you using it all year round to put your bread into? Oh, come on, man. I mean, it's a good thing you're not making Alfred Hitchcock movies. And you don't think there's a difference between using something in broad daylight and putting a piece of bread in a hole in the wall and creeping up in the middle of the night with this flickering candle? And what the heck is he doing in there? Well, that is terrifying to the goy. So obviously you're being Isaac and Kishuf. So here he's got a nighttime. He's got a candle. He's masakadaite. Of course, that must be what he's doing. But wait, didn't Rabbi Elazar say, as we asked before, shulchei mitzvah enon nizokin? So the goy will not have that reaction because you're doing it as a mitzvah. Yes, but hechad shricha zeka shaynei. If it's something that will often and usually cause damage, or often enough that it's probable, then I shouldn't say probable, but it's an actual strong possibility. So it's difficult to define percentages, but that's different. It's something that people will worry about. This is one of the most incredible psukim in Tanakh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Shaul, to Shmuel, and he tells Shmuel that he's supposed to go to David's house, and he's supposed to be, and he's going to show him who the Melech is, and he's going to be Moshiach him as a Melech. And Shmuel incredibly answers HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, how can I go? I'll get killed. So, I mean, you'd think, wouldn't you, that, you know, I mean, if God tells you to go, you don't think you can rely on him, like, that you won't get killed? What is that? Weird. So Shmuel says, how am I supposed to go? You know what's going to happen. V'shamashu uvargeni. And you would think, okay, so Hashem says, my dear boy, don't worry about a thingo wingo. I'll be taking very good care of you. No, that's not what Hashem says to him. Hashem says to him, okay, I got a plan. So here's my plan. Take an eglas boker, biyadecha, and give him this story and blah, blah, blah. I mean, this is absolutely incredible, right? So, I mean, what this means basically is that Shmuel and HaKadosh Baruch Hu are taking the tzivui of Hashem as a mitzvah. This is a mitzvah. It happens to be my private mitzvah. But it's not choreg from the overall dinim of how a person acts with a mitzvah. But you really think it's different because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said in your ears, Shmuel, I want you to do this. Or if he whispers in your ear, Jeff, I want you to be Beidek, the Chometz tonight. It's exactly the same thing. The fact that the Chachamim were Koveya, Asher Kedishanu, Mimitzvosav, Tzivanu, that is exactly the same thing as whispering in your ear, you understand? So that when you're relating to a mitzvah, you're relating to it exactly the way Shmuel would relating to it. Every mitzvah Shmuel related, what's the difference? And if I got it directly by being whispered in my ear, if the din is that shluchei mitzvah ain't a nizokin, so I'm fine. But if the din is that hechad shchicha zeka shayne, and Shaul is very, very sensitive to this, so then I don't have a right to assume that this mitzvah is any different than any other mitzvah. And amazingly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the same thing. He doesn't say, I'll protect you. It's the schus of the mitzvah that protects you. But in this case, you can't say that because it only protects you if it's not Shlicha Hezekah. That's how we can learn from here that Shlicha Hezekah Shani is unbelievable. Fine. Okay. So because of that, it doesn't apply over here. Bo'amine Mirav. Hani b'nei b'rav, the diary b'baga. Look, you got these kids that come to the yeshiva. They live in these villages out there in the middle of nowhere. And is it okay for them to come early in the morning before dawn? Because remember, we said before, la'olam yetzei adam b'chitov, and yikanez b'chitov. Remember, that was the whole beginning of the Or. And you're supposed to make sure that you're not going to be affected by dangerous things outside, whether we're talking about mazikin or muggers or whatever it is. So is it okay to come to yeshiva early? So Rav said, tell them to come. I take it on my own neck. Nothing is going to happen. Okay, can they go home? Oh, I don't know. Let them come. We'll worry about their going home at some other time. Okay, so then basically, we know that Shluchei Mitzvah and Nizokim, but now, I don't know, when they're going home, they're not being Ozek and a Mitzvah. Itmar. Omer Reb Elazar, Shluchei Mitzvah Eina Nizokim Lo Ba'alichatan V'lo B'chaziratan. They're not going to be damaged neither direction, not coming nor going. K'man ki aitana. The Tanya Isi Ben Yehuda Omer. Klapei she'amrat Torah. Look, the Torah says that you're supposed to be Eilo L'Rega Shalosh Pa'amim Bashana, and then it gives you this Haftacha, and it says, unbelievable, Lo Yachmod Ish Asatzecha. Don't worry about it. Nobody's going to put their eyes on your property when you come Shalosh Pa'amim Bashana. And this teaches us et, the et, additional word et, as does it explain, comes to tell me, te parat charo aba afar ve'in chaya mazikata. Don't worry about it. Your cow will be grazing and it's not going to be eaten up by a weasel or some, or by a lion. Your tarnagol will be in a carrot bashpa and a weasel won't get to it. So, halo dvorim kal v'chomer. I mean, these are things, these are animals. Animals are very easily destroyed. A human being is not easily destroyed. So we call that mazel. Adam itle mazla. Other things don't have mazla. So it's much more difficult to protect an animal than it is for a human. So B'nai Adam don't usually get to be killed in these ways. And so, alachat kama v'kama. So if you're going to do this, nothing's bad is going to happen. Continues now the limud of Isi. Ein li ela b'halicha. How do I know even on the way back? Talmud omar ufanita baboker ve'alachta lo halecha melameit shetelech v'timtza olcha b'shalom. You'll go back in the morning, come back to your tents. Well, maybe it'll take you a week to get back home. During that week, God only knows what's going to happen. Oh, my God, they're going to come in. They're going to take everything that you own. Oh, just my brand new TV set kaput. How come it says that you'll find everything okay? Ah, so you see that it even applies to Chazara. So therefore, I taina that Rav shouldn't be worried about Chazara. So why do I need the first pasuk to tell me b'halicha if it even tells me that I can don't have to worry about the way home? That comes to tell me something else. The first part, you're right, I don't really need. And the first part is there to teach me that only if you have artzicha, only if you own property, the omrevami kol adam sheyesh lo karka ola l'regel. But if you don't have karka, you don't have a chiyuv to be ola l'regel. Now you understand that this is crazy, this gemara. Why in the world, if we're learning out the din of shluchei mitzvah in nizokin from this, why do we need to look to Shmuel to tell me that Shulchan Mitzvah and Nizokin? It's a Beferish Apostle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't worry, you're going to be Olal Regel. Everything is going to be fine. And if we can even bring a raya over here, that Bechazara, even when you're not being Osek in the Mitzvah, it's still going to be okay. So then for sure, this should be the Mokum. So obviously, gentlemen, and there are all kinds of discussions about this, but the sugi is very clear. This is a haftacha. This has nothing to do with the din shluchei mitzvah. Because other people ask, what do we need the pasuk for? I thought shluchei mitzvah ain't nizokim. It's absurd. Ein lecha shlicha hezekah gadol mizeh. So why don't we learn out from here? You don't have to worry about shlicha hezekah. Why do we say Hekadosh Shricha Zeka Shiny and bring that Raya from Shmuel? Over here it's Shricha. You tell me it's not Shricha Zeka? No army, no Shmira, everybody's up in the base of Mikdash. Nobody's going to come in and bother anything. Don't worry. And you don't have to worry about animals attacking your animals. So then you see that even Hekadosh Shricha Zeka, you can rely on it. The whole point of this pasuk is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you what he's not giving in a normal mitzvah, correct? So he's telling you, don't worry. Lo yachmod ishet artzecha, the things that you have a right to worry about despite the mitzvah, in this case, I'm telling you, comes together with my tzivui, is also a promise. So basically, we have a bris on this issue. So obviously, it's a completely different thing. So now the question is, so how then can I compare it? If I'm trying to bring a raya to chazara, assuming that itmar means I'll bring you a raya about chazara, which is what we say in different places, that it doesn't matter whether it's on your way there or on your way back, we even still most understand that that's the point of what Yitzi is bringing over here. So that could be that the point is that there is over here either a dimyon, so that you see that in this case, where it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to protect against the Shricha Hezeka, he makes it clear that the protection is in both directions. So in that case where there is an innate protection because of the mitzvah, it means that protection is in both directions. But obviously over there, you don't have the Haftacha. But we don't understand that the Pasuk means that the Haftacha on Chazara is the entire point. Because, I mean, if we did, so then we wouldn't ask, what do I need the first part of the pasuk for? I mean, what do you mean? This is a completely new halacha. This is a new halacha of haftacha. So therefore, it's telling me how I can pattern my understanding of protection, whatever the source of the protection is, a particular idea here, or the normal idea of shmira of mitzvahs. So now the question that we raised about doing things shelo l'shem shamayim, and that was what Tosfos was asking about the problem of Amanach Yechabini. Omer Rav Avin Bar Rav Ada, Omer Rav Yitzchak. Listen, this has to do with the question of coming up to Yerushalayim. Now note how similar it is to the issue of doing Bedikas Chometz and looking for an earring. Because we just said coming up to Yerushalayim in any and all circumstances, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is maftiach you, even though you might be coming up to Yerushalayim because Mordechai ben David is giving a concert in Yerushalayim. So mipnei ma ein perot ge nosar be Yerushalayim. How come we don't have those delicious perot that Rabbi Yochanan, you know, it says that a fly would slip off of his head because it was so, it was like incredible how much he was able to eat 1,000 of those perot. Because if it was in Yerushalayim, everybody would say, well, oh man, if we had come up for the regel just to have those dates, it would have been worth every minute of it. Okay, so because of that, it would be Nimtzeit Aliyah Sholo Lishma. Kayotzi Be'om Reb Doz Reb Yanai. How come we don't have Chametz Tveria in Yerushalayim? I mean, you'd think Yerushalayim would be the repository of all of the best, right? Same reason. We don't want people coming up to say, Ilmaleilo Alino El Lurchot B'Chametz Tveria Dayenu. Okay, so this brings us up to the next issues, the Machlokes Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, which Bezrat Hashem, we will tackle tomorrow. Rebbe, what has happened to your gabbai? You don't think it's part of the achrayas of a Rebbe to make sure that his gabbai is available?
Believe me, Rebbe, I try every day.
Okay. All right, have a wonderful, wonderful day, everyone.
It's just amazing to watch how people used to come to the Rova asking for direction to the Kaisel. Then it became the Horba. Now it became Berger's Bar. I've watched it happen.
Oy vey.
So imagine
if we had Chamei Tveria.
Exactly.
Oy, yay, yay. Go to everyone.